Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Habegger.
Good morning, everyone.
And we have Melissa Kay here with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, both of you. Thanks so much for being here. And thank you all of you for waking up with us on this Wednesday. Hope it is treating you good. We certainly are going to. We got a bunch of great stuff to get to today. We are going to touch on 40 things you should do by the time you are 40.
Whoa.
Too late.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Yep. Essentially, I haven't even looked at this list yet, and I'm already depressed.
Yeah.
We all missed the mark.
We did.
Yeah.
We all did.
Yeah. So maybe we can help out those in their 30s.
There you
maybe.
Go. Let's pass it on here.
Yes.
That's coming up a little bit later. Science has figured out the formula to get a crying baby back to sleep, so we'll all laugh at that.
Yeah.
We'll all
sure. I believe that when I see it.
We have, now, the last time we got together, the three of us, Lost and Founds came up. And so I've been kind of sitting on this story of some of the weirdest items found in a Lost and Found before.
Oh, cool.
And the history of Lost and Founds.
Ooh. I know nothing about that.
I also kind of, that sent me down a rabbit hole, which...
of course, it's shocking.
Yeah,
yes.
Everything does. Wise Tales. Fiction to those and everything. I want to get into some of those with you guys. We've got, we're going to break them down if they're fact or fiction and get into a bunch of those. So that's coming up a little bit later as well. I have an interesting thing, a story that I came across late last night about Florida. And is it going to be a retirement haven?
Mm.
I thought it was kind of interesting, and some of the history of how it became one in the first place.
Very cool. Yeah.
So that's coming up a little bit later. Americans say the city they'd least like to move to is. We will tell you a little bit later. We'll tell you getting into that a little bit later. And plenty more, of course. We have a bunch of fun things going on here at the station that we will be talking about and getting into. We, of course, got our sports schedule we want to touch on as well. The show will lead into Morning Magazine, where in part one today at 10:06, we're going to welcome in our friends. Our Family Natural Foods has set up a great interview with us. We're going to talk to Rob from the Food Movement.
Cool.
They have a bunch of their items on for sale right now over at Family Natural Foods. We're going to talk about how those products stand out among others.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of homework on the Food Movement, and they really can back up what they say. It's going to be a really interesting interview a little bit later. And then at 10:30, our friends from Encourage are going to be focusing on Girl Scouts of America. We're going to be talking about that. We'll have, of course, Kim Shields with us. We'll have Lauren Martins, Fund Development Manager, and Katie Kiaski, a Membership Engagement Coordinator for Wisconsin Rapids.
Nice.
All that coming up.
Awesome.
We're looking forward to that. A little bit tomorrow, we, of course, have the Paul Chris Show. I want to remind you about that. The Wisconsin Badgers head coach joins our airwaves every week during the football season. Going to be interesting to see what he has to say about that game last week and what he's thinking about New Mexico coming up here.
It's going to be interesting.
More on that in a moment. On Friday, on our sister station, WIRI, be sure to catch great high school action as Randy Paul will be on the call with Don running the board. For Assumption, hosting iScan, Iola Scandinavia, maybe not what we have known them to be the last three or four seasons. Lost a couple of guys. Still don't want to take them lightly,
Never.
Although Assumption is rolling right now.
They are really rolling.
They really are. So this should be a good game. Either way, we'll definitely have a good guy calling it, and Randy. On Saturday, wrap up our sports schedule with Badger football. Our game kicks off at 12:30, Wisconsin. Hosting or at New Mexico State. They are taking on New Mexico State.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that game is at home, I believe. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that game is in Madison.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we'll double check that. Yeah,
I'll triple check that. Because I already double checked it earlier this week, and now I'm second guessing myself.
Of course, yes.
We'll take a look at that a little bit later.
Right.
Looking forward to that. First up, though, Seth, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I'm doing well.
Seth?
Oh, what?
We lost Seth, everybody.
Well, it's because I'm kind of, I'm alone with the boys this week.
Right.
And I've got this, and then I've got that, and then I've got a show I'm doing. So, yeah. I'm a little, you know, where am I again? I don't know where am I am.
We'll figure it out together.
Yeah.
Because I'm only like 80% sure of where I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm only, and Melissa, how sure are you of where you are?
I am 100% sure of where I am right this moment.
At least one of us.
the benefit of working from home.
Exactly. Not,
this is a
exactly.
How are you today, Mel?
Oh, I'm good. How are
you? Doing good.
Doing good.
Good. Good to hear. Very good. Now, both of you are in kind of interesting like situations where you're spinning plates.
Oh, yes.
You know, Melissa's a little bit kind of still getting moved in and everything, getting plates. Because it's one thing to get everything in the house.
Yeah.
It's another to get it in place. You know?
That takes forever.
I still don't have it all in the house. That's the thing.
Oh, see, yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping to make another trip this weekend and nice. maybe,
yeah.
Get the rest of it.
It's open.
It's open.
Seth, with a kind of the you know not having a you know your partner in crime there with you and everything that really you really notice that stuff like it,
you
notice
do.
It anyway
yeah.
but you really pick up on it in those moments and everything
you really do and it's one of those things where it's like oh yeah I gotta do that too oh
yeah.
Oh I gotta do that too yeah don't want to forget that.
And both
go to school. Yeah, got to do that.
Both of the situations you guys are in are empathetic and noteworthy, but at the same time, pale in comparison to what I'm going through, trying to find a vehicle. That is
actually, you know,
no, I'm kidding.
The way the vehicle market is right now, actually, that's not you're not too far off. It's insane.
It is a dang nightmare.
Yeah,
it is nuts.
I feel for you.
Yeah.
I really do because I will have to do it eventually, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Mm.
I have expanded my. I try to stay local as best I can.
Right.
I've had to expand my search, and then I had to expand it again, and so now maybe I've done something I've never done before. I'm looking out of state, and looking at vehicles out of state and everything. And so this is what's been happening to me. And if you're out there looking for a vehicle, you know just what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I see this vehicle. I like it. Email dealership about vehicle. I do. 5 seconds later, my phone is blowing up because they're texting me. Hey, I know we're from this place. We noticed you like this vehicle. And I'll message them back, either email or text them back and everything. And, you know, oh, yeah, I am. I'm interested in this vehicle. Well, that one's already been sold. But if you'd like, we have this, and this.
Yeah.
And then they bombard you with tons and tons.
Yes.
I just want a vehicle, man. I just want
this
done.
But none of them are like what the one you want.
Of course not.
No, they're all different things.
I don't think you're so right. I don't think it's fair to have to, and not necessarily that I'm always in both of these situations at the same time, but to be in the, if you are in this situation out there where you are single and you're looking for a vehicle in this day and age, that has got to be one of the most, because it's hard to juggle one thing. Like I can't, you got to choose. Like, look, I'm just not going to be dating for a while. I'm just going to be focusing on getting a vehicle or vice versa, whatever you got to do, but how you juggle both is insanity.
Yeah.
It's
hard. It really is.
No way to do it. There's genuinely no. But what you guys are doing with that, it's something that I think every single person out there can relate to, especially as you like get into the change of seasons or with a big change in the year with you got kids starting school or any of these things. Everybody's got to kind of adapt and just adjust. And with that, I open the show with empathy. I liked everybody to kind of have some empathy today going throughout the next couple of weeks here, thinking about others. You get frustrated. We all have the moment of a stubbed toe. You know what it's like when you stub your toe and you see it. And the pain hasn't registered yet. You have a couple seconds before it hits your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the pain's coming, but you haven't felt it yet. That's what I'm asking you to do with your fellow human beings. Look at them as stubbed toes. You may not know what's coming, but you know that somebody's going through something.
Right.
I think it's pretty fair to say that most everybody you walk past is going through something. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, maybe it's the toughest thing they've been through, maybe it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, they're going through something. So have some empathy with each other out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's
a good analogy.
I don't think it's asking a lot. Thank you, because I did not feel very confident about it, Melissa. Even if you're just saying that,
that's
I appreciate
good.
You so much. You're such a good teammate.
You're welcome.
We, of course, in this hour, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. We're going to have some fun with some of those other stories sprinkled out throughout the show. Of course, it is a Wednesday, and that means in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Phil Hartley. with our wicked awesome Word of Wednesday, thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing.
Yeah.
Looking forward to all that. And we've got two sets of tickets to give away today for the Cedar Project, this Cedar Festival going on. Seth, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it's coming up this weekend on Friday and on Saturday. It is a weekend of music. It's hosted by the Cedars Project. The Cedars Project itself is a co-op that focuses on connecting community members with artists and local business owners in order to help one another grow and build sustainable projects. The Cedar Festival takes place in Little Chute on the hillside overlooking Doyle Park and the Fox River. If you'd like more information or if you'd like to purchase some tickets, go to thecedarsproject.com. And this is actually a project put together by someone we are familiar with, Isaiah, who participated in the Hoozles Rise to Music competition.
Yeah.
So it's very nice that he reached out to us for this to get us the word out and get us some tickets, which is really cool.
Isaiah had a real good experience here. Enjoyed the staff, enjoyed Steph a lot working with her. And that is something that you hit on right there, Seth, that I'm very thankful of. For one, I want to give credit to our sales and marketing staff.
Absolutely.
Best in the business. But also, there's a reason people come back here. There's a reason you keep hearing consistency during our commercial breaks and with our promotions and all these things. With that being said, since you mentioned it, Seth, I do want to mention that for those that were wondering out there, there is going to be a part two to Hoozle's Rise to Music.
There is.
Very excited about
that. Steph has informed us that they're already starting to plan it for next year.
Yes.
It was such a success. They cannot wait. Hoozles of the Lakes cannot wait to do it again next year.
So just as a side note, that is something to look forward to. And certainly spread the word about to any artists you know out there, like Isaiah. And I'm not surprised that he is behind this, talking to him and everything. Because it's something that is important to a lot of musicians, I believe, and a lot of just people in this state being able to do this. Mm-hmm. So this is a great concert. As Seth said, it's going to be taking place at 217 Canal Street in Little Chute. Fresh on the fly, a new food truck in town is going to be making pizzas using ingredients from the garden, and Derby Laundry Brewing and Stone Arch are sponsoring a selection of beers. People are also welcome to bring your own beer.
Hey, beer and pizza.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
While you're with that, bring a lawn chair or a blanket to sit on. And if it rains, the festival will be moved to the pavilion in Doyle Park. We did that this weekend with the FRM Fest. You can find out more again by going to thecedarsproject.com and be listening between now and 10. We're going to give away two sets of tickets. Cannot wait to do that.
Yeah.
That'll be coming up. For now, we'll take a commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun. It is Seth, Melissa, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center right at the start of the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. I'm sorry. I can't let this go. The idea of if you're single and you're looking for a vehicle at the same time and you mix up like you're writing your profile for dating, looking for something with a little less than 15,000 miles on it, nice tires, maybe air conditioning. If you got that, if you were to get responses for that, you wrote that in your dating profile and then you were getting responses.
That would be interesting.
Or you're talking to a guy at a dealership. So how can we help you today? I just want somebody that will be honest with me. Maybe we have similar music tastes, something like that. Oh, okay. Would you like to look at this sedan? Would you like?
It has Sirius radio. I mean, you could take what you want to listen
nice.
To.
Nice. Well played, Mel.
One day, there's just going to be a woman driving up in the perfect car for James. You get both at the same time. There you go.
Whoa.
It is time to look at our National Day of Calendar for this September 14th, 2022. As we mentioned already this week, just one more time, want to mention, it's National Housekeepers Week. That's a good one to keep on mentioning, I think. That is going on till Saturday, September 10th. Today will probably be the last day we mention it, but don't you forget to mention it to any housekeepers you know out there.
Mm-hmm.
This is arguably one of the greatest ones we will ever do. National Coloring Day.
Yay.
Ooh. It's coloring!
Yes. I love the adult coloring books. I have probably three of them. I think I've colored one picture.
But you have them.
Yeah. But I have them, and I want to color in them. And I fantasize about coloring in them.
My mom does that with puzzles. My mom does. She has four or five puzzles that she just has sitting there.
Yep. My pain.
Yep. Yep.
I'm with you on that, Mel. Like, mm-hmm. for one, the adult coloring thing is a lot more popular than a lot of people may realize.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on for a very long time. My sister was really into this for a while, and she's the one that kind of, all of a sudden I saw that she had an adult coloring book and stuff, mm-hmm. and I was like, I didn't even know they made those. And
yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a great stress reliever.
And it's a great one to encourage in kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a really quick story. I was taking my youngest daughter, Isabel, to 4K, I want to say. Parents got to sit in with her for a little bit, mm-hmm. or sit in with the kids. And mm-hmm. we're doing that. And the first project they had was coloring penguins. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. How great is this? And not just for me, as obviously I love penguins, but my daughter, growing up with me as a dad, you know, knows pretty familiar with penguins.
Yes.
Isabel also is probably... got one of the most unique imaginations I've ever known.
Mm.
And she started coloring her penguin purple. And you know, she was coloring within the lines and everything, and she chose a really nice color, purple, and the teacher came by and said, oh, I'm sorry, honey, penguins are black and white. And Izzy had this... I can still picture it, man. It gets me. Just look this like sad look on her face. No. So I stood up and I'm like, no, you color that penguin purple, Isabel. You go ahead. You color it any color you want. So I think that kids having the freedom to color, like as simple as it is, as common as it is to us, as familiar as we are with it, we can't lose sight of how important it is for their imaginations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And power coloring in the house, you know?
Yes.
Mm. Maybe not on the walls, but...
No, please,
you know?
Not that.
No, not the walls, anything but the walls.
Unless your walls are papered with coloring pages, then it would be fine.
Should they just make wallpaper that's that?
I think they should.
Just, like, you know, for parents, just wallpaper that you can just rip off with...
We talked about doing that, like coloring pages in an adult coloring book and making them wallpaper.
That's a great idea.
I'm actually kind of a little angry that hasn't already happened.
Yeah.
If we're talking about it, and Melissa, you said you've already talked about it once. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we're not the first ones to think of this.
Melissa needs to put on her news director hat now, and she needs to find out about this. Do some tough, some real reporting.
I will research this. Way to be. Way to go.
It is National Eat a Hoagie Day.
All right. Except I don't know what a hoagie is.
Well, now
what it's a lot of things.
That's a great way to put it. I want to know what the difference of a hoagie and a sub is.
I do too. It's always confused me. I have no idea what the difference is. They look awfully similar to me.
They do. I think it's a regional thing.
With a sub, the bread is a softer roll cut all the way through, and the top is separated from the bottom of the roll. With a hoagie, a harder roll is preferred, and the roll is split, and the contents, generally the same, are stuffed into the roll and folded closed at its completion.
Has to do with the bread. Okay,
it's
now.
It's always about the bread.
It's always about the bread, yeah.
I love bread. Hoagie is a type of sub sandwich. May seem like an ordinary sandwich, but for those within the Philadelphia area, it's part of their pride and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Darn right. Those
and
are
cheese steaks.
Yes.
Those are the big things in Philly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hoagies are good. And most places are sub shops. You don't have a lot of hoagie places.
Yes, yes.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't have it seems like a something that you could easily...
It's the marketing. It markets itself, really. Hoagie is such a cool word that you can do that, you know?
I don't know.
But you're leaving out the hero and the grinder.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's open a one-stop shop. It's all for
all. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure if anybody else has noticed, but every town in America has at least 2 to 3 Subways.
Yeah,
Literally every town. Everyone.
Well, let's talk about the Subway marketing platform and the company itself. We could go on about this.
I will say I encourage people to look into that. It doesn't take a lot of digging to find a lot of what they're doing to a lot of their, people that are trying to start a business. That's all they're trying to do is just start a business and run their own business, be their own boss. There's nothing wrong with that, but man, the way that they treat some of those people.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, because, hey, let's be honest, we may want them to sponsor with us, so maybe we should be quiet about this, because it's National Quiet Day.
Okay.
It's National Quiet Day, everybody.
Let's all be quiet now.
It doesn't work really good in radio.
It doesn't. I don't want to be quiet.
Don't tell me to be quiet. No, I'm not going to be quiet.
I will never tell you to be quiet, Melissa. Never. On the list of things I will never say to you, that is right near the top.
Aw, thanks, James. That's probably the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
National Quiet Day is a noise is everywhere on the crowded train, in the busy office, in the pub, the school playground, or even at home. We simply can't seem to get away from the buzz of everyday life. Sometimes it's just all too much. We know that peace and quiet are good for both body and mind, but it's increasingly difficult in today's world and to experience real quiet. That's why National Quiet Day is so important. Today's a great day to just try to tune everything out, find a quiet spot in the world, and you know, enjoy even a moment of silence.
I agree. 100%.
Silence is golden.
It really is. It also can be very nerve-wracking. when I first moved here, living in Rome with my nan and papa, I slept on the couch right next to the window. And where I came from, there's no quiet.
Yep.
The city is always awake. The city is always making noise. And that's what that was my, you know, music to go to sleep to.
Right.
It was the street noises and everything. Out in Rome, Wisconsin, especially back then, now it's much more populated. But back then, where you got like a good stretch before there's another house and that kind of thing, it's just quiet. And at first, it's beautiful and it's peaceful. And then you start hearing noises. And you've never heard these noises
before. You don't understand.
I have no idea what that noise is. It sounds like a banshee outside or something. It was a raccoon. But I'd never heard a raccoon before, man.
Yeah, what is freaking that? Wild animals.
Rather hear from dealers and stuff out in the streets and everything than whatever that thing is outside making noise. It was just a raccoon. It was nothing big. It is Gobstopper Day.
Oh, yes. Everlasting Gobstopper.
Pop a Gobstopper in your mouth, fire up a Willy Wonka or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie, and enjoy the pop culture treat brought to you by Ronald Dahl. We are celebrating Ronald Dahl yesterday. Now, there are certain special things that stand out as a part of every childhood in a certain culture, whether it, that is a smell of cookies baking in a winter kitchen after school, or the rich aroma of barbecue surrounding by joyous voices and family-friendly environment. Despite its silly name, Gobstopper Day celebrates these candies and the history they share with generations of children. This is a day to celebrate that. For many, the presence of the Gobstopper candy stands out as a beacon of childhood. In fact, Jawbreakers, the predecessor to the brand name Gobstopper, have been one of the most popular candies throughout throughout America and the UK since World War I and II. But the name Gobstopper didn't find its way into pop culture until the 1960s. A creation from Ronald Dahl's 1964 fiction world of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Everlasting Gobstopper was a magical candy that changed colors and flavors when you sucked on it, but never actually disappeared.
Wow.
In 1976, the candy with the name Gobstopper was created in a similar format to what is known as the Jawbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yep.
Nice. I remember eating those as a kid. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They never lasted forever, though. Nope. That was the downside.
I had one that lasted forever.
Ooh.
It's still out there somewhere. So, no, like, literally. We went to a museum when I was in grade school, and I got a Gobstopper that was as big as my hand, you know, as a 10-year-old child.
Whoa.
Wow. Like, it was smaller than a baseball, but bigger than a golf ball.
Wow.
It was huge.
How do you fit it in your mouth?
I couldn't actually get it in my mouth, so you had to lick it. Now, the problem with that is that it made your tongue absolutely raw.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was rough. But I think I got it about maybe halfway gone, but that thing lived in my nightstand drawer for years. I'm sorry, James. I know that's going to absolutely gross you out.
No, I actually kind of, there's a weird part of me that admires that. It's so weird. I don't know.
I had a Gobstopper, like, for years in my nightstand drawer as a kid.
I think between sitting in your nightstand and your saliva and, you know, there might have been some stray radiation around your house. I don't know. I think it actually it gained sentience and it's wandering around right now.
It might be. And it also, you know, I have the best immune system ever because of that.
Maybe that's it. That Gobstopper has a apartment in Greenwich Village now. It's a writer.
It's the toast of the town. Yeah,
yeah, it's a writer. did any of you? Did either of you ever do the whole sharing of the Gobstopper, where you shared it with a friend or a brother or sister or something?
You know, I don't remember a specific time, but I'm sure I did.
I remember seeing kids do that, and I'm not a, like,
what,
I don't
like
get
take it out of their mouth and give it to somebody else.
Yes,
yeah, basically.
And then they put it in their mouth. Yes, I saw kids do this out here, and it weirded me out. I, if something weirds me out, I think it says something, because I'm generally one of the weirder people you're ever going to meet.
Well, that's less gross with a Gobstopper than it is with gum, in my mind.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen that one, too. And that one
flips me out. Because
you
could actually wash
off.
Yeah. You could wash off a Gobstopper and put it in your mouth.
I'm not like a germaphobe or anything. I'm not like, that can get dirty like with the rest of you. But, man, that to me, that one is a little bit a bridge too far for me.
There's a line, and they cross the line.
And finally, it is National Cream-Filled Donut Day. These delightful confections are popular in almost any venue. In fact, a super quick way to win the adoration of various coworkers or family members is bringing a couple dozen donuts.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy.
I'm not as big on the any kind of filled donut, but I ain't going to turn it down either.
Yes.
I'm not going to turn
Don't
it down.
Don't do that.
I have never turned down a free donut. Even donuts I don't like, even kinds I don't like, I'll still like bite through it. I'll still eat through it.
Yeah, I love cream filled donuts, but they're always dairy filled. So eating one is, well, it's delicious and delightful in the moment. It's not so pretty later.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, if you are looking to start a business, one of those crazy donut places, like Devil's Donuts or something like that, like they got in a lot of big cities. Yeah. I know that's a big chain. I think that's what it's called. Starting something like that. But expanding it to have, you know, non-dairy cream-filled donuts.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, things like why people aren't taking advantage of that huge market.
Come on.
It's just sitting there waiting for people to, like, say what you will, Ben and Jerry's were incredibly smart about that.
Yep.
They got on that ball pretty, not quick enough maybe, but they got on it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And their sales are through the roof.
Yep.
Like, it's like the when we talk about legalizing marijuana and everything. Like, I'm not talking about every person in America walking around with a dime bag on them or something like that. I'm saying, like, opening it up for farmers and to use as an industry. If you need why this is a good idea, just look at Colorado. Look at what has happened to this.
The profits that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible how that much that state has changed from in the last, I think, 10 years or what have you, that they have had it really legalized.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have been able to prove now about the sciences and everything of this. It is also a point in time where what the dangers of what it was in the 60s and 70s pale in comparison to what we're dealing with today.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like it or not, the lesser of evils. And when you have fentanyl and prescription drugs and all these other
opioids,
concerns,
and
everything, it's the least of our worries.
It really is.
Somebody takes too much of that, they're going to fall asleep.
Like, yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe eat too much. It's very similar, the two worlds.
Something Wisconsin should keep in mind about that, about legalizing it for recreational use. Think of all the frozen pizzas that people are going to eat. And all that cheese. Think about that, people. Think about it.
I'll tell you this when it comes to that subject. You had a certain point in time when the Republicans would never even like put their foot near that.
Yep.
Now almost every single one of them are even behind it.
You got
that
it.
Tells
they're
you a lot.
It's
just a matter of time.
Yeah.
If you want,
Colorado passed $1 billion in sales in 2019, $2 billion in sales in 2021. You know what's going to happen this year?
Wow!
This is why you shut up when Mel wants to talk.
Yeah, that's right. She's got the good stuff,
she's
right?
Good, she's good.
She's got the good stuff.
It's just a matter of time.
Yes.
Would you want to be late to the ball or early to it?
Yeah.
Because Colorado was early, and Mel just told you how that is working out for them.
It's going well.
We're going to take a break. We're going to go to some more news from Alyssa, and we'll come back and have some more fun. We're going to get into this whole. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Wearing glasses, does it make you look, I don't like using the word dumber or not, but that's the title of the article, wearing glasses, does it make you look dumber or not? So that's what we'll get into when we come back on Mornings. I know, shaking your head. Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. I like that bumper music. That
was yeah, there you go. Yeah. Music, a little end of summer music there. Yeah.
Yesterday, I was telling Melissa, I finally found a pair of glasses I like.
Yeah.
I love them. I like wearing them. I actually like wearing glasses now. I'm so used to wearing contacts every day. It's nice to have that freedom and that flexibility and everything. And then I come across this article. People tend to look smarter when they're in glasses, right? I mean, that's kind of the old wise tale. That's kind of the old adage about that and everything.
Right. You're supposed to be really smart with glasses and really nerdy, right? Yes. That's the thing.
Nerdy.
Or in the rom-coms when the girl takes her glasses off and all of a sudden
she's gorgeous.
Yeah. Like, well, a new study found that phenomenon might not be as universal as we thought. Volunteers had to rate how smart they thought people were based on only on photos, some with glasses and some without. And when people were in glasses, they were actually seen less intelligent. That's the opposite of pretty much every other study that's been done. So why was this the case? It turns out some cultures just don't associate glasses with higher IQs, like we do.
Makes sense.
All the other studies on it were done in Western countries like the U.S., but this one was done in the Middle East, specifically Jordan. For whatever reason, they don't associate glasses with intelligence as much. They do a bit, but not as much.
Okay.
One thing we do all agree on, though, is that glasses tend to make people look slightly less attractive. What? Come on.
Wait a minute.
People rated glasses wearers as looking less confident, too. One group does think glasses are hot, though. People who wear glasses gave other people who wear glasses higher ratings across the board.
Yeah, that's right. Solidarity glasses wearers.
I like that. I really like that. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I have nothing on this.
I have to disagree with them quite a bit on this one. Because, yeah, maybe you don't have the right pair for your face. No, see, everyone has a different shaped face, of course. And there are certain glasses that go better with certain shaped faces. I think you can find a pair of glasses that make you actually look better than you would without them. I firmly believe that. So it's just being, you know, it's usually... Usually, if people pick out their own frames, that's when you get run into trouble.
Yes.
You need a little help. You need some outside. Because, like I tell Beth, I said, do you want to see me in these new glasses? Because you're going to be looking at me more than anyone else.
Yep.
So you should probably use a pair you think would look good on me, right? Yeah.
That is a smart man right there. That is incredibly intelligent.
Well, and for those of us with really poor vision, it's really good to bring somebody with you when you're glasses shopping. Because often, you're looking at these glasses either after your eyes have been dilated or after you know, without any corrective lenses on.
Mm.
So you're trying on frames and you're like, well, I can't really see myself. Maybe if I get, you know, a quarter of an inch away from the mirror.
Yeah, I go right up there.
You don't get a good perspective.
No, that's a really good point, though, Mel. That's a really good point. I mean, this is such a case by case thing.
It really is.
I've seen people that look like you said, Seth, look more attractive with glasses and not without, and people who it doesn't seem to matter one way or the other.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter.
If you're used to seeing somebody with glasses and then they aren't wearing glasses, they look a little weird.
Yes.
There is a fascinating subgenre of like literature and comic books and all kinds of stuff in Japan about girls who wear glasses.
Yes, yeah.
It's a whole subculture. It's really interesting. It's a little weird, but it's very interesting. But it just shows you how different these perspectives are. So to speak.
I think that it's more people are attracted to that than they realize, too. Mm-hmm. One of my best friends, he'll be listening to this a little bit later on the podcast that you create. He wants to thank you for that, Will, out in Oakland.
Nice.
So I've known Will for almost 30 years, and it wasn't until about 5 or 6 years ago he was in between girls because he just is a serial dater and he can't stop Will. But he was going from this one girl, very pretty and very intelligent, to this next girl who was very pretty and very intelligent. But they both looked a little similar to me, and they both had glasses. And I mentioned to him, like, you know, I noticed every girl you date has got glasses or wears contacts and glasses sometimes. And he's just looking at me like I just told him a ghost was behind him. He's like, what? He says, yeah, man. And he starts talking about it. A month later, he calls me up, like, in a panic. He's like, I don't know what to do, man. Now, I can't get this out of my head. Like, it's... I think that it happens more times than not, what we are attracted. And I think a lot of the time, certainly opposites attract, that old adage. I think sometimes that you are, there's a little of that, and then there's a little of wanting somebody that has a similar kind of vibe as you and, you know, maybe understands what it's like to wear glasses or what it's like not to or what have you.
Yeah, you're right.
And as far as the intelligent factor, there's nothing that tells you intelligence. There's nothing.
Nothing.
Glasses, a pocket protector, a certain shirt. I mean, there's literally nothing that will tell you if somebody or make somebody more intelligent or anything like that. It all has to do with that stuff going on behind in between our ears. That's it.
That's right.
Brain. That's it. The brain. No, I'm joking. Try it. We are going to take a quick break, but before we do, since we got two of these to give away today, Seth, Melissa, I say we do one right now. Let's throw an audible out. Let's go ahead and try to give a set of tickets away right now to the Cedar Festival that is coming up Friday and Saturday, September 16th and 17th. This is being put on, of course, by the Cedars Project. You can find out more by going to thecedarsproject.com. It's a great event. 2 days of tons of music, supporting an amazing cause with some wonderful local food and brew. It is going to be a really good time. Be our second caller at 424-2600. 424-2600. Win yourself a pair of tickets to the Cedar Festival right now on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour with this one right here. 40 things you should do by the time you are 40.
All right, see what we missed.
Yeah, let's see. Yes.
How many we got?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Let's put a positive spin on it. There you go.
Someone polled 2,000 people and asked them to name things you should accomplish, or at least strive for, by the time you are 40.
All right.
We broke these down in them five categories. Let's take a look at them. You want to start at number one and number five, guys? Let's start.
Let's start at five, I say.
Sure.
We're going to start right at the bottom with number five, random life events. So these are random life events you should have done by the time you were 40. Owning a pet.
Okay.
Have a really bad hangover. Win at least $10 on a lottery ticket. Try to be vegetarian. Attend a black tie event. Go skinny dipping.
Yes.
And fight someone.
No, what? No.
No.
No. Some of those are all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about some of those, though, man.
Does try vegetarian mean like you have a meal without meat in it?
Yeah, I think to me that's what I took
could
it
eat
from.
One meatless
just one meal.
Yeah,
sure. That which counts as trying vegetarian.
I don't want to brag, but I've actually done that. I think it was literally one time in my life, but yeah, I remember doing that. Yeah.
Have both of you been skinny dipping?
Yes.
I don't believe I have. No.
Oh no! Wow. No. Oh, I thought. Dang it! I didn't know. I thought we were going to be together
team
on that one.
No. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Mel, have you done any of these?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I've been skinny dipping.
Okay.
I have not gotten into a fight. So that's something else I haven't done. And I'm actually not. I'm okay with that.
Does a fight with your siblings count? Because if that counts, we probably all have.
That's a good question.
No, I never got into like a physical altercation with my sister. But
I don't. I'm not a violent person, and I don't like violence, and I don't think that there's a lot of cause for it. I will say you learn a lot about yourself after being in a fight.
That's probably true, yeah.
I will say that much. I love the idea of somebody knowing how to fight and never having to throw a punch their whole life. I do like that part of things. And I think that there's a lot of a lot that you can learn about yourself in those situations. I'm also saying this as somebody who lost track of how many fights they were in before they were 13.
Right,
so,
yeah.
There's a healthy and there's a very unhealthy way of doing it. I happen to be on that part of it.
Right.
And I've won $5 off a lottery ticket. That's it. I've only played like the lottery tickets thing twice. I've only done it twice because one of our regulars at the gas station bought me two.
See, that's cool.
That doesn't really count.
No, you didn't buy them yourself.
Yeah, I didn't think it did.
I have never purchased a lottery ticket in my life.
No.
But there's a reason for that. I am the unluckiest person when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Right.
No. I am not going to waste my money, okay? Right. Yeah, sorry. Right. I'm not going to win, so.
You know, someday when Seth is about 68, he's going to buy a lottery ticket, and he's going to win big bucks, and then he's going to go, "Well, why did I wait this long?"
No. Yeah. I highly doubt it. I'd rather waste it on something else. My $2, okay. Yeah.
There you go.
How about living arrangements? We go to the next one with things you should have done by the time you were 40 or strive to. Have an apartment in the middle of a city, live outside a city, buy a house, and have a mortgage.
When did they do this study? Like 20 years ago?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Who's going to buy a house now? Right. Who can afford it?
Or have a mortgage.
Yeah, exactly.
I know people in their 50s that are having a hard time like trying to. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
I have actually done that. I've owned a house. I've had a mortgage in my life. It wasn't for super long because I ended up moving, you know, a couple years after I bought it. But it was, I mean, you know, it was kind of funny, James. You were talking about, you know, the experience of, you know, you learn things about yourself. You learn things about yourself when you own a house.
Yeah.
Let's put that out there as well. So it's not a bad experience if you can afford it. If you can't, don't worry about it. Okay. Right. It's not something that you have to do. All right.
Well, the housing market in general, we could go off on a whole tangent.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we won't.
There's a lot of concerns when it comes to that. And there's a lot of... you know, well, if you heard the interview yesterday with JR.
Exactly.
You know, you heard us talking about some of these things. How about traveling? This is a good one. Traveling. Visit other continents. Go on a cruise. Go whale watching. See a Broadway show. See some of the seven wonders of the world. And fly first class at least once.
That last one I'm looking forward to. I really hope someday I get to do the first class thing. That'd be nice.
I don't know if I've done any of those. I don't think I've flown a lot, and I've never flown first class.
No,
I've never even come close to first. Like, I feel like it's a different plane. The first class.
It is a different plane. I got to the last time I flew to Hawaii, but on a fluke. I didn't pay for it. I got upgraded.
You got upgraded, right?
I did. It was
that's
cool.
Nice.
That
yeah,
cool.
I was going to say
it's really like, cool. Yeah.
It's hard
and
to
I don't
go back.
Know if it was technically first class. It was business class, but I was like two seats from the front of the plane.
Close enough.
So it was as high of class as was available on that plane.
Yeah, I would take that as a first class type thing. Yeah,
it was a win. I'll take it.
Yes.
I almost went whale watching. That's like one of my goals. I want to do that. I want to see a whale in person. Like,
so here's an interesting guy. I don't know if I could say I've been to another continent. I've been to England, but that's an island. That's not on a continent. Technically, have I been to Europe? I don't know.
I would say I would push in. I would
just kind of just says it. Yeah, grandfather me in there. Yeah, okay.
Same for me, Seth.
Yeah.
Right on. And you too, then, Bob.
Yeah.
And how about relationship stuff? They say things you should have done, but you should do or strive to by the time you're 40. Fall in love with the number one answer. Fall in love was the number one answer overall, but also have a one night stand. So, like that, what mixed messages are you sending?
Yeah, really? What's up?
Have your heart broken, get married, and have a kid.
Okay.
Man.
Well,
wow.
Just incredibly like big like things here.
This yeah, right. I have done all of those except one. I will leave it up to you to find out which one it wasn't. So, there you go.
Same, Seth, actually. I have done all of those but one.
Oh, you guys are good.
And it's not the same as Seth.
No, it's not.
Gosh, that was good, you guys. Oh, that was good. I'm just going to leave that sitting there.
No, all right.
And the final one on here, because I got nothing that I could add to that to make that better. That was perfect, you two. Career stuff. Just wrapping up things that you should have done or strive to by the time you were 40. Earn a degree, reach management level, get fired, start a business, land your dream job, volunteer, and save for retirement.
Wow, I've done all of those except one of those two. That's amazing. The only one that I have not done there is start my own business, which I mean, I'm not under 40, but someday I might still do that.
Yep.
So I might be able to get all of those in there. So there you go.
You know, I think I have not started my own business, technically. I mean, like, I tried, but I didn't sell anything, so I don't think it counts. And I've never been fired.
That's an experience, I got to tell you. Getting fired is a weird experience.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I don't know. I think that I've... I've done most of these. Now, starting a business, I wouldn't say that I have done that necessarily, but I will say that you are kind of you are your own. The way that we are marketed as entertainers now, whether you're a singer, a dancer, an actor, whatever it is, you are a business now. I am in James Maloff Incorporated.
Yes.
And I have to sell myself that way to casting agents, to different people. That's a reach, though. That's not a real business.
Would you say that falls into like the gig economy?
Yeah, I would say
it might be one of the first gig economy.
Probably. So I don't know, but the idea of now let's look at it this way: all of this together, like a person that has accomplished all of these things by the time they're 40, that person is burnt out.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
that person is so burnt out right now. They're not listening to us because they're in an echo chamber or something.
Or a coma.
Pace yourself. I just want to say you don't have to do this before you're 40.
Yeah.
No.
You can do some of these after you're 40. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
This is where I wanted to wrap up on, Seth. Okay. Is don't ever let anybody tell you that you are supposed to accomplish this by a certain age. Everybody is different. Some people are Doogie Howser and they graduate high school, even in high school. There are different people for different things, and there is no set standard for anything, especially here in America. You do your thing. You be you. We'll take a break. We're going to do that right now ourselves, and we'll play some CBS News. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR.